Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Ore por la paz de Jerusalén, ore por la paz de Jerusalén, ore por la paz de Jerusalén, shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 shalom. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Sing it with me. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Baruch Hashem, which means blessed or praised, be the name of the Lord. I am honored to be here with you. Pretty interesting looking synagogue, you know, here. I have preached in barns. I've done a wedding on horseback. And I'm originally from here in El Paso. I was born and raised in El Paso. Went to Isleta High School. Once an Indian, always an Indian. Anyone else here from Isleta High? Yeah, look, there's at least a couple. And I actually grew up on the Fort Quitman Land and Cattle Company Ranch. It's about 55 miles southeast on Interstate 10. You take Farm to Market 34 over to Tommy's Town and Esperanza. And I grew up right on the banks of the silvery Rio Grande River. I grew up on the Fort Quitman Land and Cattle Company ranch. My daddy was involved in business with three of his Jewish friends, the Rosen brothers, Sigmund, Paul, and Marcus. Dickie Rosen just passed away a couple of years ago. And I went by the store to talk to them, and they asked me if I would still be interested in living on the ranch and running it. And boy, that was a prayer of mine there for a while. But you know, when you know God's call is to preach and teach the good news, Besora, of who Yeshua is, you know, there's no question there. Let me just... I like to tell people I'm a real, live, honest-to-goodness Texas Jewish cowboy. Hey, Pastor Terry, knock, knock. Tick. Tick 'em up. I'm a tongue-tied cowboy. I know that's pretty corny. I led Ben David, which was a Messianic Jewish synagogue here in El Paso for 12 years, and then moved out to Southern California, where I lived there for 11 years. And about 2 years ago, I received a telephone call from a friend of mine, and he said, look up Lev Hashem. Lev Hashem means heart of God. It's a Messianic Jewish synagogue in the city of Las Vegas, Nevada, the holy city. We're claiming it, you know, for the Lord. And so I looked it up on the website, and I thought, you know, pretty interesting. And I was in between leading congregations, and so I called them up and made myself available. I could either come out and speak or, you know, they were looking for a permanent leader, and so I thought maybe I could come out and help you out for the summer. And so I went, and the first time that I went, it was to meet with their leadership. Well, and they were, you know, in contention. There was some real division between them concerning, you know, observance, how much, how little, terminology, how much, how little, a lifestyle outreach, you know, Jews for Jesus type of outreach, or more within the context of a Messianic Jewish congregation. And so I met with the leadership, and then I went back to California. I have a 20-year-old son by the name of Levi, and I said to him, I have a feeling that Lev Hashem is going to be more than me just being there as a guest speaker or even filling in for a while. And boy, it came to pass. I had never dreamed, thought, even considered Las Vegas. But Las Vegas is the fastest growing city in the United States, 1,700,000 people. El Paso is a desert, but it is even more of a desert there. I think the hottest that I've ever known it to be in El Paso is 111 here, but there were 5-7 days where it was 117 degrees in Las Vegas. El Paso has an average annual rainfall of, what, 8 to 10 inches. The average annual rainfall in Las Vegas is 4.5 inches. And so after prayer, being there 4 times, they extended an invitation for me to come on a permanent basis. In a 4-year period, they went through 4 different spiritual leaders. They fired every single one of them, including one that embezzled money from the congregation. So they went through a very difficult period of time. The longest that a spiritual leader lasted there was 2 years. I've been there 1 year and 9 months. I have 3 months to go. But God has been good in everything. Things have doubled and tripled, and leadership has gotten along, and we are believing, we are confessing, we are speaking that God will make a difference in Las Vegas. And by a difference, you know, I really mean a difference. It is Sin City. I mean, it's in your face almost everywhere you go, from taxis and buses to all the marquees. Someone said, well, wouldn't want to bring up kids in Las Vegas. In case you haven't watched TV, and in case you haven't driven down some of the streets here in El Paso, Las Vegas is in El Paso. Las Vegas is all over the United States, not just the gaming thing, but the sensuality, the immorality that goes with all of it. Las Vegas has a saying, what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. But I fly in and out of Las Vegas, and I look at the faces of some of the people, and as they leave Las Vegas, they're not leaving what happened in Las Vegas. They're bringing it home with them. The guilt, the sin, the condemnation, and the devastating losses. And pray for me, and pray that God will do a work there. Las Vegas also has the fastest growing Jewish population in the United States. So there are 100,000 Jewish people in Las Vegas that we know of, but there's at least 50 to 75,000 Jewish people that are totally unaffiliated. They're not connected to a synagogue, a Jewish federation, or a Jewish community center. Just really assimilated and very secular. Well, I said all of that just to give you a little bit of background as to who I am, where I've been. In flying into El Paso, I always think my beautiful El Paso. I love El Paso. And I am blessed and honored to share God's word with you this morning. I'm here, I know, for a couple of specific reasons. Tonight, to do a Passover Seder, a traditional Jewish Passover Seder that will be messianic, that will exalt and lift up who Yeshua is. Yeshua is Jesus' name in Hebrew. And over the years, and this is not an exaggeration, I have seen thousands of people come to faith in Jesus through the Passover Seder, giving an invitation for salvation. And I don't know what Letitia and Bruce's time frame is, or their number limitation, but this is an opportunity to bring people to hear about how Yeshua completes and fulfills Passover and how people can enter in to that faith with Him. It also gives a root to what communion is about, to what the resurrection is about. So I'm really looking forward to that tonight. Let me pray before I open God's word. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, I pray in the name of your Son, Yeshua, whom we know to be Jesus, your blessing and your anointing over this message. Abba, I ask you to help me to come across in a right spirit, to come across in a way that the name of Jesus is lifted up. And Lord, I know that I'm not here for myself or for, quote, my ministry. I'm here to be a blessing to this church, to build this church, to support and complement the vision of this church, and to be a blessing to my brother Terry. In your name I pray all these things. B'shem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You know, I led Ben David here in El Paso for 12 years. Led a Messianic Jewish synagogue in Upland, California for 4.5 years. And now I've been in Las Vegas the last year and 9 months. And I get phone calls from different kinds of ministries, prophetic, pastoral, evangelistic, artistic, musical. And there's always one thing that I look for before, as the shepherd of that flock, I would say, we'd like to have you. Do they say, I want to come to bring a word for your church? Do they say, I want to come and build up your congregation? Do they say, I want to come and be of support to you as the spiritual leader? And when I more or less hear those things, that is a witness to me that they're really coming to be a blessing to the congregation, to the flock that I lead. And as the shepherd, one of my responsibilities is to protect the flock, to make sure that the people hear and receive good, solid ministry. And I want you to know, Pastor, boy, I'm here for you and for this beautiful church and this beautiful, beautiful building here. This is great, isn't it? I love it. I feel right at home. I used to spend a lot of time at the cotton gin in a sledda shooting pigeons. Now, I'm sorry to have to say that to some of you. I know that shocks you and hurts you, and now you're going to hate me. But that was 5 cents a pigeon. And those pigeons would mess up, you know, the gin there, the cotton gin. And, you know, when I was in grade school and high school, that was good money. Now, I have asked God to forgive me, you know, for doing that. And trust me, those pigeons are flying around in heaven. You know, they're okay. Maybe I should have never said that. Okay. Exodus chapter 29. The book of Shemot. Exodus chapter 29. Shemot in Hebrew means names. But the book of Exodus has to do with deliverance and redemption. The book of Exodus is about a spiritual leader, a prophet, a type of the Messiah. And as we share in the Passover Seder tonight, especially from Exodus chapter 12, we will find the redemption, the deliverance that God accomplishes for Israel and the Jewish people after 430 years of slavery. The Passover experience has taken place, and now Moshe, Moses, and Aaron are being consecrated and dedicated to the Lord for the priesthood. They would be the shepherds, the priests over Israel. And this is part of their consecration. Verse number 1, here's what you are to do to consecrate them for ministry to me in the office of Kohen, the priesthood. Take one bull and 2 rams without defect. Also matzah or unleavened bread, and we will be eating of unleavened bread tonight. Unleavened bread was not only just for Passover. Matzah cakes mixed with olive oil and matzah wafers spread with oil. Matzah is a bread without leavening in it. All made from fine wheat flour, put them together in a basket and present them in the basket along with the bull and the 2 rams. Bring Aharon and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water, or in other words, immerse them with water. Take the garments and put on Aharon the tunic, the robe for the ritual vest, the vest itself and the breastplate. And if you go into a synagogue, when you see the Torah, the first 5 books of Moses in scroll form, it is always dressed in accordance with the garments also of the priesthood. And you can read about this vestment in Ephesians chapter 6. These are also garments where you put on the whole armor of God for spiritual warfare. Fasten the vest on him with its belt. Put the turban on his head, and in Jewish tradition, this is where the custom of wearing a head covering comes from. The tradition of the priesthood, always going into the presence of God, offering sacrifices into the temple or the tabernacle with his head covered. In Jewish culture and tradition, it's a sign of respect. It's a sign that when we pray, when we study the scriptures, when we're in the house of God, we cover our heads. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says it's a shame for a man to pray or to prophesy with his head covered. But it's not talking about a priestly garment or a head covering that a man would use that would speak of reverence and respect for God, his word, prayer, or the scriptures. That context is really talking about a man's hair. And when a man wears his hair in the way that a woman wears her hair, it's a shame for a man to pray or prophesy in the church with his head covered or with his hair for a covering as a woman would wear her hair for a covering. And one of the issues in Corinthians was cross-dressing. Homosexuality was one of the issues that they had to contend with. And then attach the holy garments to the turban, then take the anointing oil and anoint him by pouring it out on his head. Bring his sons, put tunics on them, wrap sashes around them, Aharon and his sons, and put the headgear on their heads. The office of Kohen is to be theirs by permanent regulation, and thus you will consecrate Aaron and his sons. Now, up until this time, every man, woman, boy, and girl was considered a priest, a Kohen unto God. When the children of Israel came to the mountain to receive the law of God, everyone was considered a priest. But now it moves into a different dimension, the office or the ministry of the priesthood. Verse number 10, bring the young bull to the front of the tent of meeting. Aharon and his sons are to lay hands on the bull's head, and you are to slaughter the bull in the presence of Adonai. Adonai is one of the names of God that Jewish people speak. For the most part, Jewish people will never say Jehovah. For the most part, Jewish people will never say Yahweh. In witnessing or in communicating or sharing with Jewish people, if you do that, thinking that maybe they'll better understand what you're talking about, observant Jewish people will either think you don't know what you're saying or that you are taking God's name in vain. This is the ineffable name of God. This is the name of God that Jews do not say or pronounce. Number one, we're not sure what is really the pronunciation of God's name, Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, which would be interpreted or translated as Adonai. Some people would say Yahweh. And I know in grace and under God's love, you know, I would be able to say that for the sake of my Jewish people, culture, communication. That is a name that I do not say as well. And it's not out of legalism. When you learn someone's language, then you're able to communicate more effectively. And so Adonai literally means my Lord, my God. Very personal, and yet this is the name that Jewish people do not pronounce. At the entrance to the tent of meeting, verse 12, take some of the bull's blood and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger. Pour out all the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Take all the fat and cover the inner organs, the covering of the liver and the two kidneys, with their fat, and offer them up in smoke on the altar. But the bull's flesh, skin, and dung you are to destroy by fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Verse number 15, take one of the rams Aharon and his sons are to lay their hands on the ram's head, and you are to slaughter the ram, take its blood and splash it on all sides of the altar, quarter the ram, wash the inner organs and the lower parts of the legs, and put them with the quarters and the head. Then offer up the whole ram in smoke on the altar. It is a burnt offering for Adonai, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to Adonai by fire. Now, some people believe that the Old Testament, and that's another area of communication. If you have Jewish friends and you're talking to them about Yeshua, to most Jewish people, maybe not to all, but to most Jewish people, for us to speak of the scriptures as the Old Testament. Again, you don't know what you're saying. How can you call God's word old and then compare it to the new as if the old was antiquated, out of date, no longer God's word? And so we develop a terminology that best communicates with Jewish people. The first covenant of Scripture would be an appropriate communication. But in the first covenant, there are people who feel, well, this is the covenant that shows the law. And it does. But 400 years before the law was given, Abraham found favor with God by faith. God never intended for our Jewish people to be saved by the keeping of the law. He always intended that our relationship with God would be free will, voluntary. Offerings that were brought for the building of the tabernacle where Moses had to say, stop already. It's enough. You've brought more than enough. I wonder if that's ever happened here at Calvary Chapel, where your offerings have been so much and there's adequate for the building and the land and the vision that you have, where the pastor says, that's enough. We don't need any more. The rest we can use to minister to the poor, to minister to the orphans and to the widows, which is true religion, the book of James. And so always God intended that we should be a people who would be saved by faith, by God's grace. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse number 19, take the other ram. Aharon and his sons are to lay their hands on the ram's head. And you are to slaughter the ram, take some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aharon's right ear, and on the lobes of his son's right ears, and on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Take the rest of the blood and splash it on all sides of the altar. Then take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aharon and his clothing and on his sons and on the clothing of his sons with him, so that he and his clothing will be consecrated, and with him his sons and his sons' clothing. What I would like to talk to us about is Mamlechet Kohanim Goy Kadosh, Mamlechet Kohanim Goy Kadosh. You are a holy priesthood. You are a kingly priesthood and a holy and a kingly nation. And as I mentioned, all of the people up until this point were considered priests before the Lord. Being priests or ministers to God is not just a new covenant principle. It comes from the first covenant. But now there is an anointing, a consecration, an office, a ministry for the priesthood. And they come through Moses, the tribe of Levi. And they come through Aharon, the brother of Moses, who was also from the tribe of Levi, the Levitical priesthood. And here's an unusual portion of scripture in verse number 20, Exodus 29. You are to slaughter the ram, take some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear. On the lobe, the ear part, blood to be put on his ear. Why? Why blood on his ear? So that he would hear the voice of God. And symbolically, we also need to apply blood, as it were, to our right ears so that we hear the voice of God. Blood would be applied to the lobe of Aaron's right ear because the right ear represents right, righteousness, to hear right from God, not to hear wrong, to hear right teaching and sound doctrine, to hear right truth, to hear the voice of God's Spirit so that you also get right direction. And your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Because when you hear right, whether you're walking straight or to the right or to the left, you'll have clear and sound direction. Blood would be applied to the lobe or to probably the middle, lower half of all of the ear. And blood would be applied to his right ear so that he would hear right things from right people. Don't listen to dirty jokes. Don't listen to double meaning type of jokes. Put a stop to it. Tell people when you can sense and feel that there is uncleanness to a joke or to a story or to slander or to gossip or to a rumor. Just say, not self-righteously, but say righteously. You know, I've dedicated myself to God in such a way that I would rather not hear double-meaning stories, jokes, slanders, rumors, gossips, things about other people that are really none of my business, and I don't need to know that. It's time for us to hear from God and to hear right things from our brothers and sisters. Over the years, and the first time that I was ever part of a Calvary Chapel church was in 1967, 68, at some of the beginnings of the Jesus People movement. I had just graduated from the Foursquare Bible College. Chuck Smith had roots in Foursquare, graduated from that same Bible College, and he was at the forefront of what was taking place amongst this phenomenon in the late 60s, early 70s called the Jesus People Movement. And at that very same time, thousands of my Jewish people were also coming to a faith in Jesus, hippies and yippies and zippies and whatever ippies that there were at that time. And it was right along the time of the Six-Day War when by a Bible prophetic comparable miracle, Israel defeated seven major Arab nations that were set to attack and destroy Israel. More than 120 million Arabs poised against 3.5 million Jews. And by a miracle, in a preemptive strike, self-defense for the survival of Israel, those armies were defeated. And right along that time, a parallel of an outpouring of God's Spirit was taking place all over the world. Thousands of American young people, thousands of Jews here and around the world also coming to a faith again in Yeshua as the Messiah. And as we live in this day, we are living in a day where, interesting, kind of scary times if you look at it in the natural. Iran, considered a rogue nation, is in the process of developing nuclear weaponry for mass destruction. North Korea, which is also a rogue nation, developing nuclear capability, also for the purpose of mass destruction. We see that the nations constantly and consistently come against Israel. And now we see Israel again considering giving up more of Bible land to appease the nations and to appease the Arab nations and to appease Islam. And in the book of Joel, it speaks of judgment upon those who divide the land of Israel. When I opened Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem, part of that consideration will be to make Jerusalem an international city. Now, it sounds pretty good internationally, politically. Hey, yeah, Jerusalem should be a nation for all the peoples. But the scriptures say, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. And if Jerusalem does not hold on to being the city of the great King, then it means it's the city of everyone, but it's the city of no one. And when Yeshua comes back, he will first set foot on the Mount of Olives to establish his rule and reign from Jerusalem, and with a rod of iron. And that's why Jerusalem cannot be an international city. It must be preserved to be Israel's capital in fulfillment of prophecy. It must be preserved for the coming of Yeshua HaMashiach. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May our ears be also anointed to hear the word of God, clear, sound prophecy concerning the times that we live in. You know, I have a 20-year-old son by the name of Levi. I would like for the young people who are here, say you're 25 through 13, single, would you please stand? Can I take one of these mics? If I walk out here, will it feed back? Am I? Okay, I'll just stay back here. I'm going to tell you young people what I tell my son. I haven't just told him this once. I tell it to him regularly. Levi, you're the son of a spiritual leader. You know from my life that I'm trying my best to practice and live what I preach. I'm not perfect. There are times I blow it. You have been part of Messianic Judaism since you've been born. You've seen and heard some really great, wonderful things in the synagogue. You see how wonderful people can treat me, love and respect. But you've also seen how bad some of the people can treat me. We had a guy stay in our house, and he forbid Levi to go into his room. Levi needed to get some clothes that he had forgotten. And so I went up to the guy. His name was Mitch. And I said, "Mitch, Levi just needs to get an item out of the room that you're staying in." And he grabbed me by the throat. So this is, the guy was Meshuggah. He was crazy. He grabbed me by the throat. Big, huge guy. "This is my room and you get the F out of here." And right in my own home. And Levi saw that. In another service, he heard someone cussing me out. And I said, "Levi, you keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on the Lord. You will get to see some of the most beautiful things about what Christian life, Messianic Jewish life is about. People coming to faith in Jesus. People that you love and respect blowing it in immorality and funerals and baby dedications and weddings. In all of that, Levi, you keep your eyes on Jesus. You have a walk with God you need to accomplish." And I said, "Levi, you're living also in a time where there are wars and rumors of war, nuclear proliferation, terrorism. Some of this is scary. But you're also living in the time where possibly, probably, and boy, I want to be here to see it, where you will see the rebuilding of the temple. You will also see the manifestation of the Antichrist, a world religion, a world economy, a world ruler, a man who claims to be the Messiah." And Levi, read your Bible. Stay in your scriptures. Pray regularly. Come to the synagogue. Stay in synagogue. And love and honor and respect your spiritual leaders. And if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, whatever takes place, however it develops, you'll make it. You young people, you're living in a prophetic age where probably, as I said, I hope to see it and experience it. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I have a feeling it's coming faster than what we realize. And you young people, live for Jesus, serve Him, be on fire for Him, stay in church, honor and obey your parents, love your spiritual leaders, and God will be with you. Lord, thank you for these young people. We bless our young people. We love them with all our heart. Our lives are geared for their good and their best. Help us as adults to be good examples to them. In Yeshua's name, amen. You may be seated. Reading on down. "Put the blood on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, the lobe of his son's right ears. Not only on Aaron, but on their sons, on the thumbs of their right hands." Why would they put blood? Why would they anoint the right thumb of their right hand? Have you ever heard the saying, "Get a grip"? Terry, get a grip. And in a way, that's what it means. Get a hold, get a grip on God's word. Get a grip with other people who love Jesus. Make those your best friends, the people that you run around with, associate with, form business partnerships with. blood on the grape, right thumb, get a hold, raise your hand and get a hold of the work of God's Spirit in your life and for your life. Reach out to God. Get a firm grip on truth, sound doctrine. Reach out your hand with the right hand of fellowship. Grip someone. Get a hold of someone who needs help, who needs Jesus, or who needs encouragement. Get a grip. The anointing of his right hand. Get a grip on that remote control and surf to the right places. You know, I hate legalism. I hate legalism. I hate self-righteous, legalistic people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking get a grip on what is going to be sound and good and healthy and moral. You know, I go to the picture show. Do y'all know what the picture is? Is there anyone here who doesn't know? I'm dating myself. My son, Levy's always telling me, Dad, it's the movies. I said, I'll say it the way I say it, you say it the way you say it. You know, I go to the movies, but I try to go to movies that have a moral value, a family value, something that is going to be decent. You know what? I don't cuss. I don't cuss at someone who cuts across my path in my car. I don't throw people fingers. I don't cuss at home. I don't cuss out on the streets. Why should I pay $8-$10 to go to a movie where that's all I hear? I go to pay for stuff like that. Hey, be selective. Get a grip. Take out your wallet and pay your tithes and your offerings. Take out your wallet and pay for godly and good things. And then it says, and on the big toes of their right feet, take the rest of the blood and splash it on all sides of the altar. They were to anoint, consecrate, dedicate with blood their great right toe. Balance. You know, if you cut off your right toe or both your toes, you know, you really can't box. You really can't run with balance. You really can't fight without your thumb. You really can't fight or run swiftly without your toe or your toes. Walk in the right way. Be balanced in your doctrine. Walk in the way. And Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There is a way that seems right to a man, but that way has an end thereof that leads to death. Broad is the way, but that way leads to destruction. And narrow is the way that leads to life and righteousness. And when a little baby is born, it's born through approximately 10 centimeters. A pretty narrow way. It's a pretty narrow passageway that brings forth life. And when Jesus said, I am the way, he was talking really about a small way, a narrow way. But it is a way that leads to life. And when everyone else does this and they go there and they say this and they do everything as a believer in Jesus, we have one way. And that is the right way. And it's not legalistic. It's not narrow-minded. It is not self-righteous. The reason we have this way, the reason we dedicate our ear, our thumb, and our feet And then it says, splash the blood over all the sides of the altar. Let the blood be splashed everywhere you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, wherever you live. Let there be a consecration of your walk to God. And then in conclusion, verse 26, take the breast of the ram for Aaron's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before Adonai. It will be your share. Consecrate the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of any contribution that has been waved and raised up, whether from the ram of consecration or from anything else meant for Aharon or his sons. This will belong to Aaron and his sons as they share perpetually, or in other words, this priesthood, Manlechet Kohanim Goy Kadosh, is forever. Due from the people of Israel, it will be a contribution from the people of Israel, from their peace offerings, their contribution to Adonai. So the ear, the thumb, the right toe, the sides of the altar, and now the scripture says, take the breast. Within the breast is the heart. And the priest would take the heart. Now this way is north. Which way is north? North, east, west, south, right? And in the wave offering, the priest would take the heart and he would wave it to God three times. And then he would wave it towards the east three times. And then he would wave it towards the south three times, and towards the west. And after each time, he would also shake it. And by that time, the priest was a bloody mess. There was blood on his ear, his thumb, his toe. And now in waving the heart from the breast offering and the thigh also, which represents the strength of life and energy, that priest, his garments, his head, his clothes were all full of blood. Boy, you guys sure have a bloody religion, don't you? Yeah, we do. And Jesus shed his blood. As Israel's greatest high priest, the Kohen HaGadol, a priest not from the tribe of Levi, but a priest from the tribe of Yehudah, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the Messiah. And as he shed his blood for you and for me, we also are under the covering of that blood, because blood means life. And without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement. There is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin. And in Jesus, our consecration covers everything. And that consecration of who he is as priest, as king, as savior, as the sacrifice lamb now brings us into true righteousness. And now you become Mamlechet Kohanim Goy Kadosh. You are a nation of priests unto God. You are a kingly people, a kingly nation, and not only as a nation, but a light to all the nations. Would you please pray with me? I'm going to ask that we just bow our heads, not to me, but just for this time. In the book of Shimon, the book of Kepha, the book of Peter, it says this, but you are a chosen people, the king's Kohanim, priesthood, a holy nation, A people for God to possess. Why? In order for you to declare the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light, into his wonderful light. And here he speaks not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Before you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And this is where we are brought into that one new man, Jew and Gentile, middle wall of partition being torn down, and now we are one unique, distinct, still keeping our special call and identity, but one in the Lord. I'm going to give an invitation, and I'm not going to ask you to become Jewish if you're not, and I'm not going to ask you to stop being Jewish if you are. I'm asking you to open your heart to who Jesus is. And I'm not asking you to look at me as if I were someone special. The Bible says that when two people agree, it shall be done. So I'm going to ask you to lift up your head. I'm going to ask you to look at me, those of you who have never, you've never asked Jesus into your life. Everyone else, please keep your heads bowed. And those who enter into faith, come to that decision as to who Jesus is. Say this is the first time that you do that, that you really do it. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. And as you raise your hand, you are saying, I receive and I believe in Jesus. Raise your hand. How many of you would raise your hands and you would say, Sammy, I come back. I've been out from under that blood, but I come back under it. I renew, I rededicate myself to be Mamlechet Kohanim Goy Kadosh. I dedicate myself to righteousness, to godly living, to really living for Jesus. Would you raise your hand? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, those of you who probably should have raised your hand to receive Jesus, you think about this, pray about it before the day or maybe next week. Why don't you give Pastor Terry a call? Telling Pastor Terry, I've had a chance to think. Boy, I feel God's Spirit speaking, dealing with me. And I do accept who Jesus is. In conclusion, let me just pronounce the Aaronic benediction, or this is the priesthood blessing. I'm going to put on what is called in Hebrew the talit, or the prayer shawl, and I'll raise it up with the crown of it facing me, and I'll say the blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher tichanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lehitatef be'tzitzit. And then what I do is I kiss the two corners. And then I would bring it over my head and just kind of enfold it around me. Bow the knee and then bow before the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies and instills in us your commandments concerning the wearing of this prayer shawl. in Yeshua's name. Then I would drop it over my shoulders, swing it over my shoulders. Now there are five fringes or four fringes attached to each of the corners. In the book of Numbers, it says you shall put fringes on the four corners of your garments. When the woman who had the issue of blood reached out in the book of Matthew, and it says she took the hem of his garment, this was the hem of his garment. It was the fringes of his garment. This is what he would have been wearing. And there are five knots in these fringes. The numerical value for the number five in Hebrew is Hanan, or the Hebrew word chen, which means grace. Again, never did God intend for our Jewish people to be saved by the keeping of the law. And this numerical value of grace means all the mitzvot, all the commandments of God should be motivated by grace. And so I'm just going to say the blessing in Hebrew and in English, and I'd like for us to stand, and then I'll turn the service over to Pastor Terry. Listen, y'all have been a wonderful group to share with. I appreciate your attention and the sense of respect for the ministry of the Word. There are three or four things over the years that I have noticed about Calvary Chapel churches. Good praise and worship, you can always count on that. Good, solid, consistent teaching of the Scripture, you can always count on that. And you can always count on people coming to a faith in who Jesus is. In Jewish tradition, when the rabbi or the priest pronounces the blessing, the people do not look at him, because the blessing comes from God. The blessing is to be received in the minds and in the hearts of the people from God. Now, I'm not, asking, anyone not to look. I think it's okay to not, nothing is going to happen if you look, But that's just part of Jewish tradition. Yevarech Adonai v'yish meherecha Ya'ir Adonai pana v'lecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai pana v'lecha V'yasem lecha shalom. Yisa Adonai panav elecha. V'yasem lecha shalom. El Señor te bendiga y te guarde. El Señor resplandece su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia, y tenga de ti misericordia. El Señor alce sobre ti su rostro, y ponga en ti paz. El Señor alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. And be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you shalom. B'shem Yeshua, Sar Shalom. In the name of Jesus, Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Perry. Baruch Hashem.
The deep well, and I think we just scratched the surface, so... Thank you, Sammy.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 in unity. To dwell in unity. La 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 la.
We're going to sing that on the way out. So as you're parading out of here, let's sing that. God bless you.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is.